saying last week we discussed the rules of rivis as they apply to expenses. As we said that you can't, if you lend someone $1,000, you can't say I want $1,200 because, you know, I didn't have use of my money. In the meantime, I couldn't make great investments. But if because of your loan you incurred expenses, like we gave the example, you borrowed money from the ATM machine and it cost a couple of dollars to take that money out, so you can say, look, here's $100, it cost me $2, please pay me back $102. Because that's not ribbit, that's not interest. I'm giving you $100, you're giving me $100 back plus the $2 charge that I had to pay. It's only fair that you pay that charge to me. That was one example we gave. We gave another example, if you had to close a CD account and because of that you had an early withdrawal penalty and you lost some of your principal. So, you know, he said it's worth it. Look, I'll pay you for that. You put in $10,000. I need it right now. So you're going to only get $99.50 and you're going to lose $50. So I'll pay you that $50. So he gave that as an example that if there are expenses incurred in procuring the money, so you have all the right in the world to pass that on to the borrower and there's no problem with interest over there. We then said that it also applies to any damages you suffer because of the loan. For example, if you say, I need the money in a month from now because I have a deposit on a house and I need that money to close the deal. And because he didn't give you the money back in time, you weren't able to close the deal and you lost your non-refundable deposit. So there also, you just say, look, I want the $10,000 back plus I lost $1,000 on this deposit that I had there. I couldn't make close the deal, I didn't have the money, and I want that compensation. Now, we have to be careful between that's a solid loss of money, than the other case I said, where I said, look, I need that money a month from now because I know there's going to be a new issuance of a stock at 10 cents a share, and here's the name of the stock, and I'm not lying. This is the name of the stock, it's 10 cents a share, I want to buy $10,000 worth when it comes out a month from now, and you bring me the money a week late, and in the meantime, the stock has worth $1 a share now. So, look, I say the same thing. Look, you damaged me. If I put the $10,000 in at 10 cents, I'd have $100,000 now. I want you to give me the $90,000. So that's ribbis. That's interest because I didn't lose anything. I had the same $10,000 I lent you. I didn't lose any money because of that. What I lost was the chance to make a profit. And that's the case you have by any case of interest. Anytime I lend money to you, I can't say, oh, I want 10% because I'm losing 10% I'd be making at the bank. That's ribbis. But so that's the difference between saying, you caused me a loss, I lost my deposit, or the check you gave me bounced and I had a $25 fee from the bank, I'm willing to pay me for that, versus saying that I had the opportunity to make a profit that you foiled, that you can't charge. That's typical ribbis, that is ribbis d'oraisa, and you can't do that. So this week I'd like to take it one step further and say, once we are allowed to charge for any expenses that are incurred and charge for any damages that you caused me through, once again, we have to remember, we're not talking that for sure you're allowed to charge, and we're just saying that it could be that you're high pay or not. That's the Chosha Mishvah issue. The Yeredeya issue is that if you want to be a good guy and you're the borrower and compensate them, you're allowed to. There's no ribbis issue. That's what we're dealing with now. We're dealing with the ribbis issue, not the Chosha Mishvah issue, the damages. So anyway, so I'd like to go one step further tonight and say, well, if when I take the money out of the machine, the $100, I can charge you that $2 because that was my expenses, or when the check bounces, I can charge you that $25 because that's a damage that you caused me, can I extend that one step further and say, you know what, I'm going to, let's say this case where I lost my deposit. I lost the $1,000 deposit in the house because I couldn't make a close the deal because you didn't give me the $10,000. You know, I think I have an idea now. $10,000, I could just write out, use my credit card, write a check, and in other words, borrow $10,000 with interest when it's mutter, borrow from a goy for $10,000. And what I'll do is instead of charging you the $1,000 that I lost my deposit, I'll write a check for, one of these credit card checks for $10,000. And it's going to cost me $100 interest by the time I get my money back. And I'll say, look, you cost me $100 in these interest expenses. compensate me for them, and it's better for you because I would have lost $1,000 deposit. I could have charged you that. Here, compensate me just as $100 of interest. That's the question we want to talk about. Or maybe a more common case is you say you need to buy a refrigerator. Can I borrow your credit card? You have a 2.9% rate, and let me use your card. I'll make all the payments straight to the credit card company. You won't have to touch it, and that way I won't have to use my 18% card. I'll use your 2.9% card. Is there anything wrong in me borrowing someone's card, his credit card, and making all the payments directly to the company? Right, that's the topic tonight. And can we use the same reasoning? Look, I'm lending you the money, but it cost me 2.9%, so I'm passing that on to you. That's the damages that I'm getting. So we have this sugya in Bava Metzia. Ayin Aleph Amid Aleph, the very bottom. It's maybe on the Ayin Aleph Amid days. The Brisa says like this, Tana Rabbanan, Al Tikach Mito Neshech V'Tarvis. The Pasuk says, don't take from him Neshech and Tarvis. Those are two names for Rivis. Ava Atonasa Lo Arei. You're not allowed to take interest from a person, but you can become a guarantor for him, even though that loan has interest. So Gemara wants to know what's going on here. Ari Laman, what's the case where you can become a guarantor for a loan that has interest? Ilema Arav Yisrael, if you say that Reuven borrowed money from Shimon, two Jews, with interest, and you could become a guarantor for such a loan. Ilema Arav Yisrael, Bahatana, we learned in a Mishnah, Elo Ovrim Below Sais, so the following people violate the Losase of Ribis. Hamalva, the lender, Halova, the borrower, Ha'orev, the guarantor, Ve'ho'edim, and the witnesses. So you can't say that I'm allowed to become a guarantor on a loan between two Jews. El Lenachri must be that I can become a guarantor on a loan where Reuven borrowed money from a non-Jew, which was permitted, and he's paying them interest. So Shimon can tell this non-Jew that I will guarantee Reuven's payment. That's okay, because just since Reuven can pay the interest, you can guarantee that payment. Frek the Gemara, and this is very important. Chema de Dina de Nachri, since according to the Gentile law, in the times of the Gemara at least, the Alzabasa Arva, when someone became a guarantor in those societies, the rule was that the lender would go directly to the guarantor. When you became a guarantor in those days, that meant that you became the principal borrower. So if that's the case, so what's going to happen is that there's going to be an interest involved between the two Jews over here. Because what's happening? Reuven borrowed money from the guy with interest. Shimon now is becoming the guarantor. Now, who is this non-Jewish person going to go to collect the money? He's going to collect the money from Shimon. So, Reuven borrowed money from the non-Jew for $1,000, and he's committing himself to pay 10% interest. He'll pay $1,100 back. Now, who's going to pay the $1,100? That's going to be Shimon. Shimon's going to end up paying this non-Jew $1,100. Now, what's he going to do? He's going to go back to Reuven and say, Reuven, I paid $1,100 for your loan that I guaranteed. I want you to give me back the $1,100. Now, that's ribbit, because really what he's doing is he's lending $1,000, and he's taking back $1,100 from the Jew. Right, that's the Gemara's kasha. So, Omer of Sheshes, Rav Sheshes says, that's no problem over here. Shekibol al-Lodun b'dinei Yisrael. This is talking where a case where the non-Jew agreed to be governed by Jewish law, meaning that he would not make the claim from the guarantor, he would go directly to Reuven. So then, in that case, the loan is really between the Reuven and the non-Jew, and Shimon's just backing it up, that's okay. So then he asks Akasha, and how's he taking interest if he's agreeing to take Jewish law? So he said he's only agreeing to, and Jewish law says that he's going to go directly to Reuven, but not in that respect that he's not going to take interest. Right, so that's the Gemara. Now from this Gemara we have a halacha, and it's Pasim Shulchan Aruch, we'll see that it's inside. From this we have this halacha that if I'm guaranteeing, if the non-Jew, it's mutter to take ribis from, to pay interest or take interest to someone who's not Jewish. So if you go and make this agreement, and he's collecting, the non-Jew is collecting from his responsibility. He's collecting from this guarantor. The guarantor is then not allowed to get compensated from the original borrower. Right, that's called ribbit. This is Pasin and Shulchan Aruch, Simen Kuf Ayin Sif Aleph. Yisrael Shalava Mos May Akum Beribbit. If a Jew borrowed money from a non-Jew with interest, he borrowed $1,000 and committed himself to pay back $1,100, 10% interest. Also, Yisrael Acher Lios Lo Arid. It's prohibited for another Jew to become the guarantor. Shekeman Shebidi Nehem. Because since in non-Jewish law in that society they claim the money from the guarantor first, it results that the guarantor is going to be claiming the Jew the interest that he has to pay the non-Jew. So that's also like the Gemara said. However, like the Gemara also said, lefichachim kibul of akum. But if the non-Jew accepts upon himself to keep Jewish law in this respect, that he'll collect directly from the borrower, harei ze mutter, then it's mutter. Now the Mechaber continues, yesh omrim, she'enu aser ela ba'arev sholuf dutz. This is only talking by a particular type of guarantor called a sholuf dutz, which we'll see what it means in a second. Dehainu she'en din hamavi malova klal, which means the lender has no... he has no right to claim anything from the borrower at all. That if the lender, the non-Jewish lender, goes to the borrower, the lova has the right to say, don't bother me, bother this arei, because he accepts it upon himself to be completely responsible for this loan. In halacha, there's three types of guarantors. There's this guarantor called a shalof dutz, which they say in the Shulchan Aruch, it's like soap. You just wipe yourself clean from the loan. I'm not responsible. I somehow have a good friend, and he's guaranteeing the loan for me completely. And if you come to me, I'll just say, go to him, he's my arate. So that type of arate is certainly prohibited to do, because you're going to be paying the non-Jew, and then you're collecting the interest from the Jew. That's completely austere. The other extreme of an arate is where you're not allowed to go to the guarantor unless you go to the borrower first. That's the normal type of arate, where you first go to the borrower, it's a typical case, and if he doesn't have money, then you go to the guarantor. So that certainly is permitted, because over there, Reuven is borrowing the money from the non-Jew, he's responsible to make the payments. If he fails to, so then you're the guarantor, you take over, that's okay, because you don't become the borrower over there. The in-between case where the Shulchan Aruch seems to have this machlokus is that if you have an in-between arev called an arev kablan, that's the type of guarantor where the lender has a right to go to either one equally. So there, that's the machlokus, whether that's considered like a shalov dutz, where the guarantor becomes the borrower and therefore he's ending up collecting interest from the other Jew, or is it considered like the typical type of guarantor where the original Jew remains the borrower and you're just helping him out. So that's the machlokus, but we see clearly for our purposes that a certain type of arei for sure is aser, that's a shalav dutz, and it could be that a kablan isn't. We'll see the halacha we have to deal with. We don't need to know all three. We're going to be talking about shalav dutzes. The remote says on that halacha, v'im aver menasa arei bado, suppose you made a mistake and you did become that guarantor when you weren't allowed to, either shalav dutz according to the second opinion, the regular kablan according to the first opinion. You made a mistake and you became that guarantor, and then you incurred expenses. So tzarech l'shalim kol hesed hamagiyah lo al yado. The borrower has to pay the guarantor any loss that he has, because maybe the non-Jew will take him to court, maybe something will happen, he has to pay all expenses, like we said last week. Avo einu tzarech l'osik zrivis shenosin b'shvilo. But the borrower does not have to pay the guarantor any interest that the guarantor has to pay. There ain't omer l'tein rivets, because we don't tell people to pay interest. And in fact, when it says ain't tzarech, means he's not allowed to. So the remote paskening, you're not allowed to become such a guarantor. If you became such a guarantor when you're not allowed to, and you ended up paying interest to protect the borrower, you're not allowed to transfer that loss to the borrower. Even though last week we said that any loss you incur on a loan, you can relay that over to the borrower, because he's not paying interest, he's paying your loss. But if that loss is an interest payment, that you can't receive compensation from the borrower. Even though the svara should be the same. What's the difference if it was an ATM fee or it's, I have to pay interest now? But that's like the Eretz HaKosef. It looks like ribis, and the Taz says this applies all across the board. That's the case I said in the beginning, right? The case is, I said I need the money back, $10,000, I'm going to lose the deposit. And because of that, I went and I borrowed money with interest, which was mutter for me to do, from a non-Jew, say. And now I want you to compensate me for that interest payment that I made because of your failure to give me back my loan. The Taz says, I can collect any damage, but I cannot collect interest payments that I had to make as a result of your negligence.
Aren't you allowed to borrow money from a non-Jew?
Right, that you can do.
So
I was allowed to go to the non-Jew and borrow the ribbis. Yeah, so but you, the Jew who owes me the money, but I lent you a Jew. I lent a Jew $10,000. He didn't give it back to me in time. Because of that, I had to go to a non-Jew and borrow with interest. So I'm asking him, give me the $10,000 that you owe me, plus that $500 interest payments I made in the meantime. So that is like he's paying me interest. That's what we see from the Gemara. It's hard to understand why, and the post can try to find svaras. It's almost like it's there as a cost of it. Because it's ribbis. But that's what the Gemara is saying, based on the way the Ramos Paskening is, that you're not allowed to become a guarantor. Why can't you become a guarantor? What I'm doing here is, look, I guaranteed the loan. I paid this non-Jew $1,100 because of your loan. Just give me the $1,100 that I paid him. But you're not allowed to, because really the loan was for $1,000. What you guaranteed was to pay $1,000 principal back, plus $100 interest. So I can only collect from the Jew who I guaranteed the $1,000 principal, but I'm not allowed to collect that interest payment that I had to make to the non-Jew to protect him. That's the halacha the Taz says that everyone agrees with in the Siva Shalom. This contemporary tries the same some svara, but that's halacha. You know, that's the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch, Ramah, and Taz. There's nothing to talk about. Based on this, the Bris Yehuda says clearly this case. I mean, he's really just saying the Taz that. We'll read it together. The Bris Yehuda says, "Im chutzrecha malva ayde ikuv apiron, that the malva, because of delay in payment, was needed." Lilvos min ha'akim b'ribis, needed to borrow money from a non-Jew with interest. Even though the borrower had guaranteed that he would pay the lender against any damages that will come as a result of him, even if he wouldn't be chayav kol shemish, but he said, "Don't worry, I'll pay you anything." It prohibited him under the ribis laws to compensate the lender for any interest that he had to borrow. That's the halacha psuka. No one disagrees with that. However, the Bris Yud himself says, and this is just to sharpen the chilik over here, he says in that other case we mentioned, like we said last week, a regular case, we're not dealing with guarantors anymore. I lent you $1,000, you paid me back a check, $1,000 check, I put it in my bank and it bounced. Now, if I have a return fee, we said last week, I can certainly charge you the $25. That was a check, a bounce check fee. I can transfer that to the damage you gave me. Suppose, because I had that check, that bad check, I had to start making interest payments. I had to do an overdraft. Something happened that because of that, I had to start making interest payments because of the bounce check. So there, the Bris Yehuda says, this halacha won't apply. That's okay. Because there, it's not interest I'm paying. That's like a damage. I gave you $1,000. You gave me back $1,000. Now, because it was a bad check, it ended up that I had this cost. So it was no difference between a flat $25 bounce check fee and an interest that I have to pay in the meantime because the check bounced. Right, it doesn't matter how the fee is, that's called hezek. The Bris Yehuda himself says that's called hezek. He says everyone will agree that that's permitted to do, because the issur here is, if I go on my own and because I didn't get my money back, I went and borrowed money with interest, that's where this issur applies. Then I can't say, look, I borrowed money with interest because you didn't pay me back, I want you to pay me back that interest. That is what the issur is. But here I didn't go and borrow with interest. It happened automatically. Because the check was bad, I had to pay interest. Now, if I find out today, the 31st, that it's interest, and then I just keep it going for another couple of weeks, so that future interest I can't collect from you because that I'm willingly paying, and it's like I'm paying interest now until you pay me. That I can't do. But if I didn't go out and borrow with interest, so then it's permitted to transfer that fee to you, so that you should compensate me for that interest payment that I had to pay, because I didn't, it was, that's like a penalty that I'm paying. Right? That's the first part of the shir that we learned from this din of Arev, that if I, even though I can charge you for my expenses, I can charge you for damages, but I cannot charge you if because of your delinquency in paying the loan, I had to go borrow money with interest, so that I can't transfer to you, just like the guarantor cannot transfer the $1,000 principal he paid plus the $100 interest to the borrower. That's, the Gemara says, you can't do that. That's like paying interest. So same thing over here, you can't borrow money and pass on that expense to the borrower. You, the lender, can't borrow the money with interest and pass on that expense to the borrower. If it happened mimela, because of the bounced check, you had a damage, which happens to entail an interest payment, so that, the Besuda says, you can pass on to the borrower. So how about a credit card? Now, a credit card doesn't seem at first glance to be the same issue over here, because a credit card, I'm not asking you to borrow money for me. You happen to have a credit card, just give it to me. You know, they won't notice, or I'll do it on the internet, I don't have to sign it, I'll just type in the number, and I will, whenever the bill comes, just give it to me, you don't have to look at it. I'm borrowing it from the credit card company, let's assume it's a non-Jewish credit card company, so it's okay. I'm borrowing it directly from the company, and I'm just asking you to use, you have a good rate, you have a 2.9%, I want to use your credit card and pay directly to the company. That l'chora does not, that like circumvents this issue over here, because the first Jew or the owner of the credit card is not paying interest for me. I'm making the payments directly to the bank. That should be okay. However, there's another halacha the Rush says based on this Gemara that we just learned. The Rush says like this, and there's the same sugi over there in Ayin Aleph on the base. Yisrael shenosan mashkan lechaveiro. If a Jew gave from security to his friend, Lilvos Allah min anochri, that his friend, the Jew, should borrow money from a non-Jew, mutter, that's okay. Why? Shanachri samach al mashkana. Right? The Jew who does the business with the non-Jew, he's not borrowing the money. He's saying, look, here's this person's diamond watch, and he wants to borrow $10,000 from you. This watch is his security. He doesn't pay back. Take it. So then that's okay, because the business is between the non-Jew and the borrower. The shliach, the agent, has nothing to do with it. Aber below mashkon, usur. But suppose I say, look, you know that non-Jewish person over there, and he doesn't know me. Please ask him, borrow $10,000 from him, give me the $10,000, and I'll make the payments directly to the non-Jew. So the Rosh says, that's usur. The kivan da achray is ala shliach, because since the non-Jew only knows the agent, he only knows his friend, the Jew, who's not happening to borrow the money now, but that's who he's relying on. Ihu the kayazav min achri. So we look at it as if the first Jew was the one who was borrowing it from the non-Jew. V'chozer amavel Yisrael, and then he is re-lending it to the Jew. As halachically, we look at this case where Reuven tells Shimon, please go to your friend the non-Jew and borrow money from him and I'll make the payment. What's really happening is the non-Jew is giving the money to Shimon. Right? He gives $10,000 to Shimon. With interest, Shimon will pay him back $11,000. Then Shimon gives Reuven, here's the $10,000, but I'm going to have to pay back $11,000. Give me back the 11 and I'll pay you. So that's a separate interest charge, and that's usur. But that's Paskin and Shulchan Aruch, and Simon Kusamaches, Sif Yodzain Yisrael Shamel Chaveiro. A Jew told to his fellow Jew, Laveli Mos Meyakim Beribis, borrow money for me from this non Jew with interest. Imnathan Lel Mashkin Lilvo, so love if he gave him as a security, so then Imachrai Takam Allah Mashka, and if the non Jew relies on that diamond watch for the payment, Vilvad, Vilavashliakal, he doesn't care about the agent at all. So hareza mutter, it's permitted. L'shliach likach haribis, the agent can then take the interest. V'lina l'akam and give it to the non-Jew. V'lo nasan lo mashkan osir, but if he didn't give it to the mashkan, it's osir, because we look at it as two separate loans. But that's stock from the Shulchan Aruch, that if I want to be an agent for, I'm a Jew and I want to be an agent for you to take get the money from the non-Jew, if he's relying on me, so then I can't make the interest payment and charge you the interest, because there's two loans going on here. I'm borrowing from the non-Jew $10,000. I'm giving him $1,000 interest. I mean, that's not the sequence. I'm first borrowing $10,000 from the non-Jew, and I agree to pay him the interest. Then I take this $10,000, I'm lending it to you. I tell you, look, here's $10,000. Pay me $1,000 interest, and then I pay the non-Jew the $1,000 interest. So that's also because I'm taking interest from a Jew. Right, that's a b'feirush halacha. So based on that, almost all of the contemporary poskim, the Mishpat Ribbis, Mishnas Ribbis, they all say the same things with the credit card. If I own the credit card, the company knows me. That's who guaranteed the loan. I'm the one that they know. I'm the agent for you. I'm like your agent. Right? You're taking my credit card, buying your refrigerator, using my credit card. So what's happening? That's the same as this case of the shliach. I'm like your shliach. I said, look, use my credit card. I'm borrowing it from the non-Jew for you. So since the non-Jew doesn't know the real borrower, he just knows me, so we look at it like two loans. We look at it like, you bought the refrigerator for $1,000, so what really happened was, the credit card company now lent $1,000 to me, right, because it has my name on it, and they now can collect $1,000 from me. I agreed to pay them 2.9% interest, and when I take the $1,000 from you, and you give me that 2.9% extra, it's like you're giving me interest on that loan. This is worse than the previous case. This is real interest. Because over here, two loans are taking place. The credit card company lent me $1,000. Then I lend you the $1,000. You pay me back $1,000 plus 2.9% every month, and then I give that to the credit card company. Okay, so I say, look, don't give it to me directly. You could pay my creditor, and that's also ribbis. If I lend you $1,000 and say pay back $1,100 to my creditor, that's also ribbis deraisa, right? That doesn't help over here, the fact that you're making the direct payment. So halacha looks at this as two loans. I borrowed the money from the credit card company, then I lent it to you. You make the payment to me, which are a combination of principal and interest, which I then make to the credit card company, but becomes the prohibition when you pay me that payment. So that's what most poskim across the board say, it's prohibited to use a credit card in such a way. There is grounds possible, just to hear the svara. He was to say, maybe this isn't exactly like that case of the rush. The case of the rush, there was clear that... It's okay. The case of the rush, if you can hear me, the tech can hear me. So, the case of the rush, there it was clear that I'm borrowing $1,000 from the non-Jew. I'm lending it to you. You give me back the $1,000 and the interest, and I'll pay it to the non-Jew. That's ribbis. But over here he says, why do we look at it like I'm borrowing $1,000 from the credit card company, and then I'm giving it to you, and now you owe me $1,000 plus 2.9% interest? He says, maybe we should look at it like, you don't owe me anything. I'm borrowing $1,000 from the credit card company. Why? Because I like you. And I'm agreeing to make payments. When do you owe me money? You owe me money whenever I make the payment. When I make this payment this month of $200, which is $180 principal and $20 interest, so I'm charging you $200 at that time. But not that it's, you owe me $1,000 from the beginning, plus the 2.9% interest. That's as far as he wants to say. It's a little difficult to hear because that's not really what's happening. What's happening is that when you buy the refrigerator, you need the money now. Right? You bought the refrigerator, you need to pay for it. How did you pay for it? Well, you paid for it because you have a friend who borrowed $1,000 for you and then lent it to you so you could pay for it. Whenever you buy something, you automatically owe the seller money. Where did you get that money from? You got the money from your friend who borrowed it from you with interest. So you already owe $1,000 to your friend at that point in time. If you continue to make payments with including interest, so you will have violated the ribbis law because you will have been giving ribbis to your friend, the Jew. So that seems to be the normative minig and halacha, that it's wrong to borrow someone's credit card. Certainly we're talking where you're allowed to have the credit card. It's talking about a non-Jewish company, a credit card company, corporation. Well, a corporation won't help to pay the interest, like we said. It's a non-Jewish company. So in that case, you cannot lend your credit card to someone else and have him make the interest payment. Now, what happens, though? All credit cards, and most credit cards, have a grace period. You make the payment within 25 days, 30 days, so then you don't have to pay any interest. And you say like this. You need to buy a refrigerator, and if you use a credit card, you know, they don't trust your checks, you need to use a credit card. Use my credit card, just make sure you make the payments on time, so we don't get involved in this ribbis problem. So is that permitted? Right, then pay completely, you know, pay for the whole amount during the grace period so that there is no interest incurred. So do we say, well, that's fine, there's no interest, or do we say the very fact that you made a deal, like we said, we just saw briefly, that as soon as you signed a contract that involves interest, you violated the interest law. So it ended up that you didn't pay interest at the end, but you agreed to pay interest, so did you do anything wrong by making such a deal? So the contemporary post can, you have to be contemporary because they didn't have credit cards too long ago. Even the new Sfarim, they talk about, they just, you know, talked 15 years ago in Eretz Yisrael, they didn't have credit cards, so it's a pretty recent invention. So they say that's okay. I mean, the one I saw in this Kisra Dine Ribbis HaMetsuyim by Rav Sternbach, son-in-law. So he says as far like this, the prohibition of ribbis is when I agree that I'm going to, here's $1,000 and give me back interest with this starting now. But if I make a deal and say like this, I'm giving you $1,000, if you make a payment within the first month, I'm not going to, there's no interest involved. What happens afterwards we'll talk about. Right? So at that point he says, when I made such a deal, since there's no interest at all unless something happens later, we'll see, that might be called Tata Echad B'Ribbis, but he says that in this case, if I lend you that money, and you have a way of paying on time and there's no interest incurred, it's 100% okay. In other words, even though I can't lend my credit card to you for you to get a good rate, 2.9% interest, that's because I'm paying interest in turn, but if it's that there's not going to be interest between me and you, I'm just doing it for the convenience, so even though if you're late, there could be interest expenses involved. At this point, we're avoiding interest, and everyone holds that that's okay to do. The problem is, what happens if you do not do a good job and you don't pay on time? Right? I lent you my credit card, and you say, "Don't worry, I'll pay on time." Then the next month, I see my credit card come with $1,000. You know, the first month's okay, $1,000 plus. Interest if you don't pay on time, here, pay the $1,000, and he says, okay, I'll take care of it. Then the next month, you get $1,000 with the $29 late fee charge, plus $100, $25 interest charge. So at that point, can I say, look, I gave you the credit card, you said you're going to pay on time, you caused me a loss now. I want you to pay me the late fee, plus the interest fee that I have to pay. Right, is that like the case we said in the beginning? Like we said two cases in the beginning. Which one is it like? We said a case in the beginning that if you don't pay me in time and because of that I lose money, I lost my deposit, I had to pay a bounce check fee, $1,000, $25 I lost, $25, so I can pass that on, that you damaged me. But I said, if you decide to borrow with interest in the meantime to take care of things until you get your money back, that you can't pass on to the borrower, because I'm asking you to pay the interest that I paid. It's like you're paying interest that I pay. What's this like over here? I didn't borrow on purpose. I didn't go and borrow money. You messed me up. I thought you were going to pay. I gave you things, so you're going to take care of it. And you failed to take care of it. You damaged me. So, on one hand, maybe we could say it's like the case. It's a heft. What's the difference if I can charge you for the balance check fee, or I charge you for these fees that because you didn't pay in time? However, because, and there is this Mr. Shubis wants to, he entertains such a possibility. He says, ask a chacham, maybe he'll help you out. But the other poskim don't want to go for that, because they say, if we were only dealing with the problem of, you know, the arvus, and, you know, this halacha that, you know, I'm borrowing with ribbis and I'm asking you to pay me for that, I borrow with him, so then maybe you could get out of it. But over here, this whole deal in the beginning, when you took my credit card, you agreed, this is the case of the second halacha, the case of a shliach. There, what happened was, I agreed to be your agent to go to the non-Jew and ask him to lend you money, and he made me the responsible party, because he only knows me. And if, as a result of this loan, right, he lent me the money, and as a result of this loan, he starts charging me interest, he charges you interest, but he's charging me interest, we look at it as two separate loans again. And we look at it as like, he lent me the money, he lent me the $1,000, I lent it to you, you were supposed to pay it on time, you didn't. Now because you didn't, now you're going to give me $1,000 back plus interest, which I will then pay the $1,000 plus interest to the credit card company. So based on that, it seems like the contemporary postman want to say that you cannot make such a payment. But even though you could make a flat fee for a bounced check fee, that's a damage. But as soon as it looks like an interest payment, so it is an interest payment. As soon as I'm paying this interest on this credit card, because I was your shliach, we then look at it as split loans, and you can't use this hetzer. Even though we said if it was some, you gave me $1,000, it wasn't any shliach. I lent you $1,000, you gave me the check, and I put it in my bank, and it bounced, and I had to pay interest on overdraft because your check bounced. So that's what we said. The Pesuta said you can charge, because that's a hetzer. That's a damage. But when it becomes a shlichus, where I borrowed with a credit card and I became your shliach, and now you owe the $1,000 plus the interest, I owe the $1,000 plus the interest to the credit card company, I can't pass that on to you. That's too close to the case of the Rush and the Shulchan Aruch. By the way, just another halacha before I say this one last thing. The case where we said the credit cards are austere, right? There's good news in that also, right? When I say, let's say I'm giving you do the refrigerator and buy $1,000. Now suppose it's a Discover card where there's, you know, you get 1% or some percent back. So can I take that 1%? Or do we look at it, look, you're giving me $1,000 plus I'm getting $10 from the company, I'm getting $10 extra, that's interest. So that's 100% okay. Because of the chumrah that we're saying that there's two loans going on here, that we look at the credit card company is lending me and then I'm lending you, so then because of that chumrah that you're not allowed to pay me interest and for me to give the credit card company, that results in this kula that if whatever free miles they give me, whatever they give me, that's because I really borrowed the money from them and they made a deal with me. Whenever I borrow money from them, pay them back, they give me a present, that's fine. And then to you I'm giving $1,000 and you're giving me $1,000 back, and that's fine for me to take that money. Now just in this case where my friend here is delinquent and he doesn't pay back in time, and because of that I had to pay interest, so we said you're not allowed to compensate with interest fees, because that'll be like paying ribbis based on the rush. We have this eitzah that the Mishnah Ribbis gave last week, and that is, if you want to be a good guy, you don't want to, you know, you feel bad that, you know, I'm sorry you want to borrow the credit card again, what you could do is after the loan is paid back, we said there's a din called ribbis meucheres. You're not allowed to pay interest after a loan is paid. However, that's only if you give a gigantic present and it's clear that you're doing it because of the loan. But after the loan is paid and you want to give someone a small present, and you don't say it's because an appreciation of the loan. I'm just your president. You're bar mitzvah. You're getting married. Your birthday, Hanukkah, Purim. I'm giving a present for some occasion. So that's okay, as long as it's not a big present. If it's a big present, then we said it's okay if it's long after the loan. So Mr. Shribbis says, if you really feel bad about it, and you know, sometimes it is difficult, it's relatives, and you really cost them money, you know, $50 isn't so much, but you feel bad that you did it, so give them a $50 present in a few weeks, and don't tell them what it's for. We caution like the Ramah that it's okay as long as you don't tell them, even though you're thinking it's because of that lost money he had. The shop said it was awesome, but we go with the Ramah, and in that way you can solve some of the problem over there.